From scratch.
Welcome to the very first From Scratch of 2015. And it's Martin. Hi, say hi, Martin.
Hi, Nigel.
And Nigel Payne, just on our own today. And we're going to focus on the year ahead. I think everyone's doing that at this time of year anyway, but that didn't stop us. So we're going to look at what we think is going to happen during the year and what's of interest to all the people listening to this podcast. So Martin, you kick us off. What's interesting? What's going to be happening?
Well, I'd like to say that I've provided a service for everyone this week. I've been reading through all the lists of trends for 2015, and it's absolutely excruciating. So I've taken the pain for everyone, and I basically... My summary of all of that is that there are no new trends for 2015 in L&D, because all the ones that...
It's going to be a very short podcast today, Mark.
Well, no.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so I've taken the pain. There's no trends, so should we just end it there? But that's not the whole story, of course, and it never is. So we're talking about things like... big data, gamification, personalization, cloud learning management systems. If you go and look around at current trends for 2015 in learning, you'll find those kind of things being discussed. Don Taylor at the LPI, he's done a poll on his blog, and it asked people to sort of say what they thought the trends would be, and they things like personalization, mobile, curation, collaborative learning. These things are nothing new. They're things that people have been grappling with for years, and even with the technology, actually there have been not hugely significant leaps forward in technology, maybe apart from Oculus Rift and virtuality, but apart from that, you know, Twitter, Facebook, that kind of stuff has all been maturing. Cloud technologies have been around for a while, so I think that there's this... That's why I say there's nothing new. That was my headline. Although the real story for me is that there is a lot going on that I think L&D should be attending to. And a couple of them, for me, this is a very personal view, but I'm going to shoot anyway. The first one is to create... in terms of technology, is just to create web-like learning experiences. It's a very simple thing because everyone out there, when they're not got their learning hat on at work, they're using the web as consumers, and in lots of different ways. But they're just using the web in the way that the web was intended to be used. And that is not the case in terms of how most technology-enabled learning is used. So I think that's where we need to get to with the technology. I think there's still some way to go, but hopefully there'll be more of that. I think the problem is a lot of the debate gets mired in acronyms, and people say it's the new shiny, like MOOCs, for example. MOOCs are not going to change learning. MOOCs are part of how the web is changing what we can do with learning. And I think we need to be very clear about that. We just need to use these tools, this new shiny, which isn't actually that new, and understand how we can create really good, valuable learning experiences. So that's my first one. The second one is this push towards skills on demand. I think... you know, companies like Uber, TaskRabbit, you know, all the Elance type sites where you can basically buy skills and buy time and from people. And I don't know how that's going to play out, but it's going to have significant impact on our economy and other economies. It's going to have significant impact on how we view skills internally and externally. You know, so why would you develop skills if you could go and just bring them in for, you know, buy 2 hours worth of something that you need at a probably a good rate. I don't know the answers around that, but I think the economy, the way we work is changing, and it's being powered by technology. And I think that is a trend that's not going away, and it has huge implications for how we work. And I think that's something that L&D needs to keep their eye on. So there we go. They're my two things.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't violently argue with you on any of those things, but maybe I can add to it. I think there's going to be a big focus on portability. On the one hand, I think people are going to get fed up with having to do things inside a firewall, only on certain machines, only when it suits the organization, or maybe even the IT people. I think people are going to want stuff on their iPad, on their phone, wherever they happen to be. That sort of portability will be paralleled with, I want my own learning registered for me that I can take away outside this business that I work for, and I can prove to some other organization that this is what I've done. So that kind of portable learning portfolio, maybe Tin Can and the Experience API will start to get some real traction, which is a quick link into the session you're running after the first day of learning technologies. And I think you're right to dig this up again and draw people's attention to it. It's been slightly forgotten, except by the, you know, the techie aficionados, and it shouldn't be. My second one is the need to speed everything up. You know, it's still too slow, too flabby. We want instant access when we need it, at the time we need it, and stuff that is focused. So, you know, if I need 20 minutes, that's okay. The person next to me might need 45 minutes. The person across the way might need 3 minutes. Just have software that's sufficiently sensitive and intelligent to be able to target stuff and learn from the way I learn and learn from the things I do well and the things I don't do so well. And that will be linking with a whole bunch of new kinds of software, I think, more intelligent, enterprise software that will have its day, I think, in the learning sphere. And that will change the whole concept of an LMS forever, I think. So we may see some way, way bigger shifts than we've ever seen before. So, you know, I just think basically learning starts to move out from behind the sofa, you know, and into the front room, and starts to align much more with what's going on in the rest of the organization and the rest of the world. So it kind of plays catch up with the kinds of things that people are familiar with and kind of things they do outside learning. So I'm forget the trend surveys. I'm quite optimistic that we'll see some really radical examples of great work this year, which will wake people up and they go, oh, why didn't we think of that? Why didn't we do that? And that will put a bit of a rocket under quite a few learning organizations. And I think that's actually quite a good thing. So that's mine.
Yeah, I like that. I like the idea that there'll be some radical change and we'll see some interesting and exciting things. And I don't doubt that. And I really, just picking up on this idea of how people can capture and share what they achieve in their professional life, and how that can mix where relevant with personal lives, and how you tell the story of what you do. I think that's really so important, and I really hope the way that, you know, I hope we can start to harness technology in useful ways to help people with that, because
I agree.
You know, that I think it's just a CV and LinkedIn is just not really enough.
Doesn't hack it. It's not profound enough. It's not interactive enough. It doesn't tell you enough. And it's not helpful enough. No, I think you're right. And that's probably a good place to end. Shall we end on an agreement? We know what we're doing. That's one thing that both of us hope for. And I think this isn't just nice to have stuff. This is absolutely vital for creating individuals who can perform and creating organizations that can perform.
Yeah, I completely agree. We are in agreement.
Good. Definitely agreement. That's fantastic. We'll stop there.
Okay.
Martin, good to talk.
Yeah, you too, Nigel. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Thank you.
From scratch.